from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're on the road to Canton, getting you ready for Thursday's game and Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's In the Loop.
So you can't have the type of season that we're all anticipating and expecting the Texans to have in 2024. You cannot do that without having a few players break out for you.
Yeah.
It happened for the Texans last year when they got the double-digit wins and the playoff win, the magical season that was.
Yeah.
They didn't do that without having a number of breakout players. Some of them are obvious, of course. C.J. Stroud, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, a lot of the guys that are returning, Will Anderson, a lot of the guys that are returning, Christian Harris. But even some of the guys that are gone, I think about Jonathan Grenard is having the type of year that got him paid. Blake Cashman, both of them. Jonathan Grenard, Blake Cashman, two guys that got paid with the Minnesota Vikings. Guys somewhat underrated maybe going in that had breakout seasons and absolutely contributed to what the Texans were able to accomplish this year. So this year, who are those candidates? Who are your biggest breakout candidates for the Houston Texans?
Yeah, it's the formula, right? The formula that we've talked about on this show for any sport. If you're going to win a championship, let's start with the division championship and then contend for the AFC championship or baseball or basketball. Your star players have to play at a star level. That's the first part of the formula. So we think that's going to happen with C.J. Stroud.
Damn sure better.
Danielle Hunter, Derek Stingley, the Stephon Diggs. That's step one of the formula is your star players have to play at that star level. Number two, and the biggest part of the formula, is you have to stay largely healthy. You have to be healthy for an entire season. And the third part of the formula for winning any championship is, I think, the most crucial part. You have to have guys that you expect to play at a certain level, and they exceed that. They're better than what the scouting report says they're going to be.
That was Blake Cashman last year.
That was Blake Cashman last year. I think you could argue Jonathan Grenard last year. Some other players last year.
Turned into Nico Collins, honestly.
Maybe Nico. Well, for sure Nico. Maybe Devin Singletary. You know, he stepped in, was supposed to be like the two on a 1-2 punch and was the number one. So if you're going to win a championship, you have to have players that you have a certain expectation for exceed that expectation. So let me give you and Figgy some candidates. I'm not gonna really give mine. I have a couple of thoughts on this, but I'm curious what yours are and if they all kind of jibe with each other. First candidate is Mario Edwards. I know we've had some fun with it, but the dude is there, and he's been a consistent veteran NFL player. Is he going to exceed your expectations?
Yeah, and see, this is where I would differentiate a little bit, and I don't want to like split hairs here in the definition of breakout, but I think he is going to at once exceed the expectation, because maybe the expectation should have just been higher. Mm-hmm. Maybe we didn't do enough work on what they were getting in Mario Edwards. It's possible that that's the case, but I also would not consider him a breakout candidate just because he's played for too long.
Like, but again, play at a higher level than you expect.
Yeah,
we know what we would expect.
What's a high level for him? Is it like what Jerry Hughes was last year or a couple years ago?
Well, because he's going to play inside. Like, he's a known commodity. If he gives you what Malik Collins gave you, to me, that's not breakout, but I'll take it. Yeah. Like, in terms of just production and how you feel about it. And I'm sure.
Well, I think the simple way to put it, has a better year than you thought he would. He has a better year than you thought he would.
I mean, he's already more of a factor into things than I thought he would be. Yes. From that standpoint, I wouldn't call it breakout because I think he's older, but he is going to be better than I thought he would be when they signed him. Yes.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a lot better too, because I remember when they signed him, and I was just like, Mario Edwards, all right, cool, but. Being out there at training camp and watching him talk to other players and coaches and how active he is, I'm like, oh, he's something special.
Yeah, he might
I don't know if he's, I don't know if special as far as like stat wise and all that stuff, but as far as that locker room, nah, he's very important.
I love how I said I wouldn't split hairs with you, and then I did exactly that. I split hairs about it. But let me say this. Will Anderson endorsing you?
Yeah.
Somewhat unprompted. Like, I didn't say, hey, how about that Mario Edwards?
Yeah.
I said, who's the guy you like to watch work?
Mm-hmm.
And Will Anderson volunteered Mario Edwards.
He said Rio.
Yeah. Rio, baby.
Rio, as you would.
And I was back here thinking, who?
Well, we were over there thinking, who?
Well, as he kept talking, I ended up saying, oh, you're talking about Mario Edwards. Yeah, I heard him talk for long enough, I was able to put it together.
Yeah.
But no, on the first Rio reference, I was like,
okay.
I'm thinking like Rio.
Rio. You know, Rio Grande Valley.
Yeah, Rio Grande Valley. Who's from the valley?
What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Who was Rio?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. 3-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I got some more for you here. John Mechie.
That's the one.
That's the one to me too.
He's the one.
That's the one I was thinking.
He's at the top of my list. Like, I understand what Clint was getting at yesterday about the numbers game. Mm-hmm. And I know the morning show was talking this morning about Cody Stoops's early 53-man roster that he has on his site.
Yeah.
And he's got John Mechie as like barely making it. It's like the 7th receiver.
Yeah.
Respectfully. You know, and I respect the eye of Clint and Cody Stoops, man. I love the work that they do. But I don't see how he's like on the fringe there. Like, unless like Ben Skoranek, unless I'm missing something about Ben Skoranek, Xavier Hutchinson, and if y'all are seeing something out of Robert Woods that I'm not seeing out there at training camp, like, he is the clear leader in the clubhouse to be among the top 4 or 5 guys right there outside of the three with Noah Brown. Like, it's the top three we know, and then Noah Brown and John Mechie right there right after that, and then everybody else is competing after that to me.
Yeah, I would say he's number one. He's number one on the list out of everybody as far as like a breakout season. We've been waiting on, we was kind of waiting on it last year and it didn't work out right, but this year I think, he got to have a breakout season. And I know Clint was saying he probably won't make this team and all that stuff, but I do think him being a second round pick do matter. I think they trying to give him every chance he can, man.
Not only that, but he's my, let's make it unanimous, he's my number one as well, because I think he's got the greatest upside. Like, I think he's got the highest upside. I think Mario Edwards, if he's just better, that's going to help them win a championship. And some of these other guys that I'm going to mention here in a second, if they're just a better, they're going to help them win a championship. But if John Mechie is a lot better, all of a sudden everything opens up and you've got a guy that
it's kind of like found money at this point.
Exactly.
Because you got Tank, you got the three.
Yeah.
And Mechie is pretty much found money.
Mm-hmm. See, so let me co-sign what Lopez just said and then split some hairs with what you said, Figgy. I don't think it's just second round pick. They're going to give him all of the chances in the world. Mm-hmm. I think that he was a second round pick more so for a reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not just, hey, let's save face on the second round pick. It's, hey, this is a guy we like so much in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, we believe in the talent that we drafted here. And so, to Lopez's point about the high upside, nah, they're not giving up on the second round pick because I don't think that they view the second round pick as a bad pick. They just feel like, you know, we had some unfortunate situations come up.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the health and everything. But they still view him in that realm, and now he's finally starting to look more like
and
that
as he
kind
said,
of player.
As he said when he joined us yesterday, you know, even a year after the year of his cancer, and we all gave examples about it, like all of a sudden he's starting to feel better. He just wasn't feeling right. He was healthy. He was running, but he wasn't feeling right. Now he's better. All right, these next three, I'm not predicting it. I'm asking the question. Kenyon Green.
I don't need no breakout season with Kenyon Green. I'm going to say, just even to just temper the expectation,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say no, but also with the caveat that I don't need no breakout season. I need a healthy season. Be like Shaq Mason, where we sometimes forget that you're there.
That's all you need.
Because you're doing your job.
That's all you need.
And sometimes that job can be very unsung and hard to notice when you're not mucking it up.
Yeah.
So start there. All right?
That's all we ask. Yeah. That's all we ask.
All I'm asking is maybe 14 games.
Yeah.
Give me 14 to 15 games.
Yeah, man. Play the games.
Just be decent.
Play the games. Be decent. Yeah. Don't be overwhelmed. Be decent.
But if he does, again, this is the formula.
If Kenyon Green has a breakout year, turns out to be like a good, really good to great player, that's found money.
Yeah.
Right? We talked about found money earlier.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know Mechie is included there, but Kenyon Green specifically,
found money.
If he have a breakout year, then I think that changes everything, even for like a Blake Fisher, man, because now if somebody get hurt, you ain't got to worry about
moving everybody around.
You ain't got to worry about Tytus Howard moving into Kenyon Green's spot and then Blake Fisher playing right. You ain't got to worry about all that.
Yeah.
If Kenyon Green is doing this thing, everything is cool, man.
All right, two more. And I'm not saying they are, but if they do, Jalen Petrie.
This one hurts.
Yeah.
This one hurts. Yeah, I am not shy or, like, I'm very transparent about my bias in favor of Jalen Petrie. Rooting for the guy, think the world of him, want the best. I cannot call him right now a viable breakout candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Based off of a position change that I think is still valid questions out there as to, you know, if he's even going to be good at said position change, and then them making the position change says a lot about how they thought of him at his previous position. So my earlier point this week about being a man without a country right now, I am fearful for a guy that I'm rooting for in Jalen Petrie that he could turn out to be a man without a country. I hope he has a breakout season. If I'm being honest with you right now as we talk about it, I cannot predict that. I cannot do it.
Yeah, I can't either, man. I said it, I want to say last week, it got a real Lonnie Johnson feel to it, man, where they just trying to find a country for him, man.
Yeah.
They trying to find the right home for him, man.
I'm not even sure he's going to start. He's been with the first team defense, but I feel like they're sort of like, let's throw him out there, let's see what happens. Dude, Desmond King is pretty good. He's pretty dang good.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since you coined the term. Does D'Amico have some dust for this?
Pixie dust?
Is there D'Amico pixie dust?
I think that's what they're counting on.
For Petrie?
Yeah. I think that's what they're counting on.
I thought we would have seen him last season.
But a different position now.
It might take a little longer sometimes. Or maybe it took some time to figure out exactly what does to deploy.
Yeah.
Like, what version of it? Like, how? What is this supposed to look like? I'm hopeful.
Now, speaking of pixie dust, this is one that I'm not saying he's starred or anything, but I've seen a couple things from him, and I started thinking pixie dust. And it would be a huge, huge add to have his best season. Jeff Okuda. You got another cornerback like that, man?
So, that would have been, if you had asked me this question a month ago, I'd have been on this one. Mm-hmm. Because I thought we were overplaying the whole bus thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, I get it. He didn't live up to the draft spot. I got it. He's on his third team now. I understand. But they not asking him to be the number three overall pick, the top corner, a savior, the guy. We just want you to go opposite Derek Stingley and to hold your own. Can you do that? I absolutely felt like he could. Now, we didn't got to camp. Like, we got to OTAs. We got to camp. And the rookie didn't beat him out the position, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like Jeff Okuda has an opportunity to star in some kind of role. But I'd have a tough time viewing him as a breakout candidate considering.
But what if?
The what if is...
Yeah, three cornerbacks? You get three cornerbacks?
It's fascinating because then it really makes you think about the whole man without a country for Petrie, mm-hmm. for Desmond King, because you figure, hey, at least one of those guys, probably Lassiter, could play inside. If Jeff Okuda can give you what he's supposed to give you on the outside, you're set at corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, it presents some other questions, but... Yeah, man. Like, three corners that can play? I can't tell you
that's
the last time.
That's a top 10 defense to me.
That ties in with what you were talking about.
My safest bet.
Yeah.
Yep.
My safest bet. I like it. Let me give you one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Breakout candidate. This ties into the Danico Autry suspension. Khalil Davis?
Yeah. Yeah.
Khalil Davis, and I think, here's what I'm thinking. He's going to get more snaps because of this Danico Autry thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just going to happen. The math of it is going to say so. He's a player, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not trying to say he's a superstar or oversell you on him. But, you know, we talk about who are some of the best players that we don't talk about. He's on the list somewhere of guys who can absolutely play the game. And it's just someone that we don't really think a whole hell of a lot about now.
No, not really at all.
Now, you'd listen to John Harris. John Harris will cover everybody on the roster on Texans radio. But on our shows and just kind of the collective general thinking, that's not somebody that we think about a lot. I think he has a chance to break out, especially with Danico Autry missing time.
And I think that's a good candidate for the D'Amico pixie dust, too.
All good.
I think that's somebody that can... It could have that breakout year where we like, man, I wasn't expecting
where
him
did
to
that
do.
Come from.
Yeah, no, yeah, it could kind of be like this year's Blake Cashman.
Yeah,
100%. He's John Lopez. I'm Brandon Scott. That is Figgy Fig holding it down for us. Coming up next on In the Loop, we confess our sins. Lunchtime Confessions. Watch this. These are my confessions. It is time for Lunchtime Confessions. Sometimes they're about sports, sometimes they ain't, but it is where we let them hang a little bit lower, and the OG gets us started. Watch this.
These are my confessions. I legitimately feel bad for all the other gymnasts on the USA women's gymnastics team. Like, they're studs. Like, they are nothing against Simone Biles. She's earned where she is. But I'm watching this last night. I was texting with you guys during it all. Mostly about your girl.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say I don't feel bad at all. I noticed them.
Yeah, but like, we get it and we love it. But Suni Lee had two of the highest scores of the night. Some of these other gymnasts, absolutely, I mean, they won by 6 full points.
Suni got the highest score from me.
Yeah, she did on all four apparatus.
I don't know nothing about
she's the
scoring.
She's the real winner
on all four. But I just kind of feel like. It's like Simone Biles this, Simone Biles that. Again, she's Houston's own, and it's something to be proud of. But like, these other girls were pretty freaking good. Like, I guess they're gonna do all right for themselves. But man, it was. I'm feeling kind of bad for them.
Shoot, one got to go back to high school.
Yeah,
one was 16 years old.
Yeah,
So I'm not talking down to you here because we're all media people. But this is just what I think.
No, that's how the game is played.
I think this is more so about, it is saying more about our media
game today.
Yes. Yeah. The headline, the search engine optimization.
Yeah.
Simone Biles.
Yeah.
Simone, if make it Michael Phelps, like just give me the big name, whatever that big name is that you can gravitate toward. And for us locally, it works because there's that local tie.
Yeah.
But
no, I totally get it.
Simone Biles.
I just feel bad for him.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
I do feel bad that their names don't show up in search the way that Simone Biles is.
Yes, exactly.
Or at least, you know, Sunise does maybe in mine, but in normal searches.
Hell, she's bookmarked. Watch
this. These are my confessions. This is actually a confession about our segment Confessions itself. Now,
it's a confession within the confession.
Hear me out here. I know that y'all don't like the thing where you allude to something or tease something for the audience that you can't really tell them about. And so you're kind of like letting them know, hey, there's a secret here, inside jokes for the audience. But my confession is, I've got confessions that I think of throughout the day that I'm like,
oh yeah,
I can't freaking bring that to the radio.
Always.
Like, whether it is just a little embarrassing or just TMI, too personal. And so my confession is, I got confessions that I can't confess.
All day long, right, Figgy?
Yeah, all day
long. All day long.
Specifically, it happens every day.
Yeah.
But specifically today, and I hate to do this because I know how much we hate to do this on this show.
There was one.
There were are at least two in my mind that I'm sorry to not be able to share with you. And it's probably better that I don't, but that is the confession.
Yeah.
That I got confessions that I can't confess.
I like when listeners or whatever come up and start doing they sing the song and all that stuff.
I hate it though, because I do love this concept. I love confessing the sins. But also know that there is a line.
So what are you nervous? Are you nervous about getting in trouble? Or is it, or you TMI? Don't want to put yourself out there TMI, too much?
Yeah,
one of them is definitely TMI.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is a little bit embarrassing.
Okay.
If I'm being honest with you, it's a little bit embarrassing and it's TMI.
Well, we got to get the embarrassing one out.
So obviously, and I'm sorry to do this to the loopholes. I hope y'all still love me, but I'll tell y'all later.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd be scared to get canceled. That'd be my worst.
Well, yeah,
I got some of those.
I got some of those too.
I got some of those too.
Nah, I keep it to myself.
Got some of those. Those come up every day. Every day.
Yeah. Leave it for Dark Twitter.
Yes. Watch this. These
are my confessions. So we mentioned earlier, I was watching Team USA 2 last night with Simone Biles and the girls. And look, man, I was watching this and I wasn't sure if I was watching them or the 96 Bulls, because they were whooping ass, man.
They were whooping.
Like, it wasn't even close. And the funny part is, at the very end, you know how the commentators be like, yeah, you know, it was a close match. The commentator was like, yeah, this wasn't even close.
They were start talking about like this, other stuff.
Yeah, this reminded me of whenever you play Madden or college football 2K25 and it's a blowout. And at the very end, the commentator's like, yeah, this been a blowout since the beginning. That's what it sounded like. But man, but my confession is, man, watching Simone, actually watching her at the very end, I was kind of in shock how high she jumped.
Oh,
She jumped 12 feet in the air.
Yeah. She is phenomenal.
So right after, I was watching it live. Yeah. I'm like, oh, bleep. And then she did something. I'm like, oh, bleep. Yeah. I'm like, dang, how she jumped that high? So I had to go to Twitter to actually watch the video again and slow it down to see her. It looked like a magic trick, man.
Yeah, like it was doctored or something.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. I forgot who was talking about it, but they tried to compare it to like another sport or how good she did, and they couldn't even do it.
So I'm going to mention this again and internet going nuts later on in the show. But she absolutely validated, Simone Biles did, validated the Bears' decision to allow her husband to go there. Because what is going on at training camp?
He was into it.
That's
too.
Better than that.
Yeah,
he was
taking notes
and notes and all this, like comparing them and all that. Like,
so,
dude, you're winning 50-0.
So I know the NFL is king, but like that's his woman out there being the most impressive.
Yeah,
in the moment, the most impressive, arguably human.
Yeah,
that we see.
Yeah,
like it's incredible.
Speaking of embarrassing, this is a little embarrassing for me, but who cares? So, got up today, didn't drive to NRG, and we've been there for 10 days, whatever it's been, of rain, heat, sweat, and stinking. I've been taking 3 showers a day, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
been funky.
My confession is like, I'm not going to lie, I love training camp.
Well, I like being in the studio.
Sure is not. No, screw that. Sure is nice being in some AC, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, we would be just fine out there again if they gave us that same AC setup that the rest of the media gets on the other
side.
Yeah, because you go into that tent, it's cool in there.
Yeah, this is they're going to be back August 12th or 11th. I think it's August 11th. They're not going to be back. I'll be out there, but sure is nice to be in some AC. This is like 28, 29 NFL training camps that I've done now, and it never gets better. It gets hot. I don't care if you're not running around on the field.
Yeah, it's warm out there for sure, 100%. Watch this. These are my confessions. I think I'm more interested in the Olympic Village right now because I'm more into the track and, you know, obviously basketball, and I love watching Simone Biles and the swimming. There was a water polo game the other day. Or a match, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I hope water polo guy is not listening. And
whatever. That's
there,
fine.
There was water polo the other day.
Matches, games.
And the U.S. just like stomped the bleep out of Greece, I think it was. And it was fun to watch. I'm having a good time. But I'm more interested in what's going on in that Olympic Village than anything. Maybe it's because I got a crush.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because I want to be in the Olympic Village myself, shooting my shot. All right. But that to me is the most fascinating part about the Olympics is, or one of the more fascinating parts is all of the best athletes in the world getting together
mm-hmm.
in a village and whatever goes. And they in Paris, you know, just a mm-hmm. kind of a place that is, I don't know.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like a vibe.
Yeah.
It feels like a vibe. And so right now I am more interested in the imagination of what that must be like, what it would be like to be in the Olympic Village right now.
It's awesome.
Than the actual
it's really
Olympics
awesome.
Themselves.
You're right.
Until we get to track, that's how I feel. Watch this.
These are my confessions. So this dude posted something on Twitter. I want to say it was a couple days ago. And I felt so bad for him, man. So he posted a picture of him drinking a wine cooler.
Uh-huh.
So it was a guy. Posted a picture drinking a wine cooler, and he tweeted, "I don't even drink like that, but drinking one of these on a hot day feels good."
Mm-hmm.
Man, they jumped on his ass so bad in the comments to the point my man had to delete the whole tweet.
Oh, he had to delete it?
He deleted the whole tweet, man. Let me share some of the...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So we mentioned earlier, I was watching Team USA 2 last night with Simone Biles and the girls. And look, man, I was watching this and I wasn't sure if I was watching them or the 96 Bulls, because they were whooping ass,
they were whooping.
Like, it wasn't even close. And the funny part is, at the very end, you know how the commentators be like, yeah, you know, it was a close match. The commentator was like, yeah, this wasn't even close.
They were start talking about like this, other stuff.
Yeah, this reminded me of whenever you play Madden or college football, 2K25, and it's a blowout. And at the very end, the commentator's like, yeah, this been a blowout since the beginning. That's what it sounded like. But man, but my confession is, man, watching her at the very end, I was kind of in shock how high she jumped.
Oh,
she
jumped
12 feet in the air.
Yeah. She is phenomenal.
So right at I was watching it live. Yeah. I'm like, oh, bleep. And then she did something. I'm like, oh, bleep. Yeah. I'm like, dang, how she jumped that high? So I had to go to Twitter to actually watch the video again and slow it down to see her. It looked like a magic trick, man.
Yeah. Like it was doctored or something.
Yeah, I think so. I forgot who was talking about it, but they tried to compare it to like another sport or how good she did, and they couldn't even do it.
So I'm going to mention this again, and internet going nuts later on in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But she absolutely validated, Simone Biles did, validated the Bears' decision to allow her husband to go there. Because what is going on at training camp?
He was into it.
That's
too.
Better than that.
Yeah.
He was
taking notes.
And notes and all this, like comparing them and all that. Like, you're winning 50 to nothing.
I know the NFL is king, but like that's his woman out there being the most impressive.
Yeah.
In the moment, the most impressive, arguably human.
Yeah.
That we see.
Yeah.
Like it's incredible.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Speaking of embarrassing, this is a little embarrassing for me, but who cares? So got up today, didn't drive to NRG, and we've been there for 10 days, whatever it's been, of rain, heat, sweating, stinking. I've been taking 3 showers a day, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
been funky.
My confession is like, I'm not gonna lie, I love training camp.
Well, I like being in the studio.
Sure is not. No, screw that. Sure is nice being in some AC, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, we would be just fine out there again if they gave us that same AC setup that the rest of the media gets on the other side.
Yeah,
because you go into that tent, it's cool in there.
Yeah, this is they're gonna be back August 12th or 11th. I think it's August 11th. They're not gonna be back. I'll be out there. But sure is nice to be in some AC. I think this is like 28, 29 NFL training camps that I've done now. And it never gets better. It gets hot. I don't care if you're not running around on the field.
Yeah, it's warm out there for sure. 100%.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I think I'm more interested in the Olympic Village right now, because I'm more into the track and, you know, obviously basketball, and I love watching Simone Biles and the swimming. There was a water polo game the other day, or a match, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I hope water polo guy's not listening. And
whatever. That's
there,
fine.
There was water polo
I call
the other day.
Matches, games.
And the U.S. just like stomped the bleep out of Greece, I think it was. And it was fun to watch. I'm having a good time. But I'm more interested in what's going on in that Olympic Village than anything. Maybe it's because I got a crush.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because I want to be in the Olympic Village myself, shooting my shot. All right. But that to me is the most fascinating part about the Olympics one of the more fascinating parts is all of the best athletes in the world getting together in a village and whatever goes. And they in Paris. you know, just a kind of a place that is, I don't know.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a vibe.
Yeah.
It feels like a vibe. And so right now, I am more interested in the imagination of what that must be like, what it would be like to be in the Olympic Village right now.
It's awesome.
Than the actual Olympics
themselves.
It's really
awesome. You're right.
Until we get to track, that's how I feel.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So this dude posted something on Twitter. I want to say it was a couple days ago. And I felt so bad for him, man. So he posted a picture of him drinking a wine cooler.
Uh-huh.
So it was a guy posted a picture drinking a wine cooler. And he tweeted, I don't even drink like that, but drinking one of these on a hot day feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they jumped on his ass so bad in the comments, to the point my man had to delete the whole tweet.
Oh, he had to delete it?
He deleted the whole tweet, man. Let me share some of the things people were saying about him. People were saying, delete this, king. Somebody else said, damn, son, they cooking you. Somebody else said, man, that's juice.
That's juice.
somebody else said, man, that's a spicy water.
Oh, wow.
Somebody said, these are for the aunties and kids under 19. Somebody else said, you sleep on your stomach and make the number 4 with your legs.
Oh, God. Where did that come from?
Somebody else said, that's a pink Sprite, my man.
Oh.
I felt so bad for this dude.
That's cruel, man.
And look, he was trying to fight back, too, because a lot of times when stuff go viral, I just let it be. I don't respond to nobody. But he was trying to respond to everybody and say, hey, say it to my face. I beat you.
Oh, God.
He was doing all that, but ended up deleting the tweet, man. But I love stuff like that, but I felt so bad for my man. Look, man, I'm not about to drink a wine cooler like that, or at least post it. But my man, don't drink like that, man. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with a little wine cooler, man.
Stand on business. Why are you deleting the tweet?
Exactly.
Why are you deleting the tweet,
exactly,
dog? Hey, I got to find out. As we do our lunchtime confession, somebody mentioned on the 832 here that Vandy did a confession on Texans radio yesterday.
So I saw that. Yeah.
I did not catch
this. And he sang. He sang.
And he sang. I've got to find that audio.
He sang the little song.
If not, tell me the day and time.
Yes. If not to bring to the radio and possibly to bring to the radio for my own edification, I would like to hear that.
Yeah. That's like their favorite segment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They say they love this segment.
Oh, yeah.
Bruh. I'm with it. I'm with Vandy singing Usher's confession.
Oh, he'll do it. Yeah, he'll do it for sure.
I'm with it. Those are the lunchtime confessions here on In the Loop. Coming up next, life came at the Astros fast, and I mean fast, man. We'll talk about it next on In the Loop.
We're on the road to Canton, getting you ready for Thursday's game and Andre Johnson's Hall of Fame induction on Saturday. Here's In the Loop.
Should we be worried about the Astros not just losing back-to-back games against the Pirates? After all, it is just back-to-back games. But it did happen, and it happens on the heels of these deals. These trades that they make at the deadline that none of us, no matter how we slice the conversation up, none of us reach the conclusion that we feel great about it.
Right.
That the Astros did something to like significantly elevate. We don't feel like this team is elevated based off of what they've done. And then they lose these games on top of it. You mentioned this earlier, Lopez.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday's game was just...
That might have been their sloppiest game of the year.
Oh, just flat out uninspiring.
Yeah.
And then the game before that, Monday, it seemed to be setting up perfectly for them to win it. A bullpen day where the early guys in the bullpen do their job. They hand it off to what's supposed to be your best guys. And instead of it being secured... Mm-hmm. It just only got worse from there. Like, think about it. Brian Abreu threw the first walk of the game for the Astros.
Yeah.
And we saw how things ended by the end of it with Hader giving up the three-run shot. So how fast does it seem like life has come at the Astros in these moments? Or am I doing a bad job here of living in the moment too much?
No. I mean, how long ago was Sunday morning? Not that long ago. I woke up Sunday morning and I was like, damn, the Astros just may walk away with this thing. You know, just for clarity's sake, I had something Saturday, so I was just kind of keeping up with the Astros score, not the entirety of the game. And they ended up beating the Dodgers. And so they had won two straight against the Dodgers. The Dodgers, mind you, who are, you know, one of the favorites in the National League. I wake up Sunday morning thinking, damn, man, the Astros just might walk away with this thing. Well, then what happens Sunday? They lose 6-2 to the Dodgers. Monday, they lose 5-3 to the Pirates. When Skeens didn't get a decision, now he pitched well. Not his best, but he pitched well. Didn't get a decision. And then yesterday they play their sloppiest game, I feel, in the year. So they've lost three straight.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
Because I've been talking about losing the two straight to Pittsburgh as if they did not lose that last game.
No, I woke up Sunday morning thinking, damn, man, Astros might just walk away with this thing. Well, 3 days later, not only that they've lost three straight, awful showing by Dana Brown. By the way, all the confidence that, not confidence, but I guess slack that we've been giving him, like it's not his fault, all the, it just looks worse now. Because he gave up so much more for a guy that has lost six of his last nine. His team has lost six of his last nine starts, and it's 4-9. And people are thinking, you know, yeah, he might be marginally a smidge better than what you'd get out of Jake Bloss, but he's not the answer, man. You know, so there's that. You lost. You've lost all, any slack that Dana Brown had. They are now in second place in the division, which they're still in it, obviously, but that has changed.
They'll win this division. The team that they're competing with, they're better than. So they'll win the division.
The team that they're competing with has made additions as well.
They did add Randy and Rosarina.
Yes.
It did happen.
The Rangers, who you were in your rearview mirror, have guys getting healthy and made a couple of small moves. And then Kyle Tucker, again, it's just procedural, but still, you know, he's on the 60-day IL. He'll come off of it, but he hadn't played with this bruise, the mother of all bruises. And then altogether, you know, you didn't get a bat either. You wanted to get two pitchers and a bat. Well, you did do that with the two pitchers, but you didn't get a bat. They are in it. They have a very clear path to win it. But boy, life, as you put it, man, life came at the Astros fast in Sunday morning.
Would you have rathered, we've widely panned these deals that they made, particularly the Kikuchi deal.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have rather the Astros had done nothing? Like, just stand pat, don't get, even just for the sake of saving face and showing, hey, I ain't no punk. You're not about to just fleece me because I'm desperate. Like, would you have rather they have, on principle alone, forget being marginally better or whatever the case is, y'all prefer they just didn't do nothing as opposed to let's give up these three prospects for a guy that nobody believes in?
I have the answer. Yes.
A rental that nobody believes
in. Yes, Figgy, you're an absolute yes.
Absolutely yes, in all caps. Yes.
All right. I have yes with a proviso, with a qualifier. Are Luis Garcia and Justin Verlander going to pitch? Because if I, and they know it, we don't. But they know if Luis Garcia and Justin Verlander.
I don't know if they know.
Well, maybe
it's so
not, but they know
of
more.
A situation. Yeah, they know more.
They know more. So if they're of the belief, yeah, these two guys are going to pitch, they're going to come back. They've had the two, they were both on the mound yesterday and pitched, you know, whatever, seemingly well. If they feel in their hearts that they know those two guys are going to pitch, then I wouldn't have done anything. I wouldn't get hijacked like that.
Yeah, see, that's my thing. Y'all got.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we not about to do that. We not about to do business like that. I'd rather stick with who I got and just, you know, take it on the chin at that point. I ain't about to get fleeced just to try to save face, just to barely make the playoffs or something like that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, to me, if you don't think that Kikuchi is a significant enough, it comes down to how desperate of a need was it to get a guy. And Lopez, you make a good point here. Like, are you getting those guys back or not? And, you know, also you're trying to create some depth. You cannot have too many pitchers. I agree with that. Like, that's a cliche, but I think it's one of the ones that ring true. You cannot have too many pitchers.
Yeah.
Go check. And we had front row seats to this last year.
Mm-hmm.
Go check out the Rangers last year, who had a bad bullpen, but by the end of it, you know, they traded for Scherzer, traded for Montgomery. And so by the end of the season,
now those are moves.
By the time they got to the Astros, okay, in the ALCS, they had a surplus of starters and were able to use those guys in different ways in the bullpen on their way to winning a World Series. So I get the value in that. But like what you just said, those are moves.
Yeah.
Those are dudes that make a difference. You say Kikuchi, I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, I remember I made the comparison earlier about me being in line at Annie's, and I had to get out of there because I had more, at that point, had more money than time.
Priorities, yeah.
But that was desperately needed to get out of there in a certain amount of time. I don't feel like the Astros were as desperate in this moment as I was in that one, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, they could have still withstood with, say, a leak in the starting rotation and hoping that they can get those other guys back, those reinforcements back as soon as possible.
Yeah, this seemed like this was just putting a Band-Aid over a gunshot wound, man.
Yeah.
Like, to me, this could have been done a couple months ago to me. And now this is the trade deadline. This is the desperation right here. And we need this guy. It's not like he coming in to be the fifth starter and, you know, just give us 4 or 5 innings, you'll be all right. We actually kind of need him.
Yeah.
I almost would have preferred, too, like this thing with Jake Bloss. Clearly the pitching prospect that they felt the best about because that's the one that they brought up, right?
Yeah.
I would have almost preferred to just keep chugging him along. Like, okay, Bloss doesn't work. Blair Henley didn't work. Mm-hmm. Bloss doesn't work. Who's the next guy?
Yeah.
You know, like that. That to me would have felt better than just simply feeling like you did a deal that didn't
for
help
a rental.
And we keep glossing over that. And 33-year-old rental.
33-year-old rental who is not seemingly a serious difference maker.
Yeah, yeah. And unless they're going to go on this magical run where they get to the ALCS and this guy's pitching his ass off.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't see that happening, but I'd rather just keep the prospects, and I wasn't even that crazy over the prospects.
I mean,
I'm just not crazy about the guy they got for the prospects.
Yeah, I said this earlier. Are the Astros better than they were 48 hours ago when it comes to pitching? Slightly?
Yeah, of course.
Maybe.
Yes, 100%. Yes, much better.
Okay, Adam. Okay, Adam.
He giving us the peripherals. Like the peripherals, for those who don't know, are the advanced numbers, which are honestly more intelligent numbers to go by. I give them that. And those are kinder to Yusei Kikuchi than some of the more traditional ones that we look at, like ERA and that sort of thing. So I'll give them that. But that is rough to instill confidence. Like, oh, he's been unlucky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hell, who's been more unlucky than the Astros throughout the year?
Yeah.
Ask Hunter Brown about being unlucky last night. You know, he had a couple of soft hit, you know, bad pitches around the zone, some soft hit, some soft contact that he gave up. You know, like, bad luck happens in baseball.
Yeah.
So, like, I get that it's a more intelligent way to look at it and say, okay, well, there's some bad luck involved. Maybe things will regress to the mean. Maybe he'll come through eventually. But in the moment, it doesn't really make you feel that much better. And again, perhaps you would rather than bring me a guy and say, hey, I know these traditional stats don't wow you, but the peripheral numbers are better.
Yeah.
That doesn't do a lot for me. I almost would prefer, as opposed to getting fleece, just keep, man, bring me. Jake Bloss not ready. Bring me a who is?
Yeah.
Next guy. Yeah. Next, as opposed to giving up more than I absolutely thought that I needed to. As far as these last couple of games have gone, they're gonna have to pick it up, man. I understand the Pirates are not like the Pirates.
They're okay. They're pretty good.
That's a decent team.
Yeah.
That's a decent team. And so, like, you, for all of the celebrating that I did for them over the weekend, Bregman's walk off, beating the Dodgers, winning the series against the Dodgers, talking crap with Joe Kelly, as great as that felt, like, you gotta keep this going.
Yeah,
you know, I don't.
They gotta get going again.
Yeah, to me, there is not enough margin for error to me to start losing home series to the Dodgers. Framber Valdez on the mound for them. I'm sorry, to the Pirates, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Framber Valdez on the mound for them tonight.
Framber on the mound. I guess we'll find out. The next two probables have not been announced. Maybe Kikuchi is going to be in the mix at some point. But they face the Rays after tonight. And I know you kind of think Rays, they were sellers, you know, at the trade deadline. They're kind of out of it. Well, they have the exact same record as the Astros. They're 55-52. So there's not a lot of gimmies right now either.
Well, and they're in the opposite sort of situation, whereas the Astros are in the weakest division in the American League.
Yeah.
the, you know, you could argue that the other two are clearly the better ones, and perhaps the East is the
best.
Right,
they would be one game out here.
As it has been for some time now, yeah. The better team in the American League. He's John Lopez. I'm Brandon Sky, rolling along with Figgy Fig on In the Loop. Coming up next, the NFL has an update to its top 100 list, and CJ Stroud is on it. Where does he fall? We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio 610. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, to me, if you don't think that Kikuchi is a significant enough, it comes down to how desperate of a need was it to get a guy. And Lopez, you make a good point here. Like, are you getting those guys back or not? And, you know, also you're trying to create some depth. You cannot have too many pitchers. I agree with that. Like, that's a cliche, but I think it's one of the ones that ring true. You cannot have too many pitchers.
Yeah.
Go check. And we had first front row seats to this last year.
Mm-hmm.
Go check out the Rangers last year, who had a bad bullpen, but by the end of it, you know, they traded for Scherzer, traded for Montgomery. And so by the end of the season,
now those are moves.
By the time they got to the Astros, okay, in the ALCS, they had a surplus of starters and were able to use those guys in different ways in the bullpen on their way to winning a World Series. So I get the value in that. But like what you just said, those are moves.
Yeah.
Those are dudes that make a difference. You say Kikuchi, I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, I remember I made the comparison earlier about me being in line at Annie's, and I had to get out of there because I had more, at that point, had more money than time.
Priorities, yeah.
But that was desperately needed to get out of there in a certain amount of time. I don't feel like the Astros were as desperate in this moment as I was in that one, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, they could have still withstood with, say, a leak in the starting rotation and hoping that they can get those other guys back, those reinforcements back as soon as possible.
Yeah, this seemed like this was just putting a Band-Aid over a gunshot wound, man.
Yeah.
Like, to me, this could have been done a couple months ago, to me. And now this is the trade deadline. This is the desperation right here. And we need this guy. It's not like he coming in to be the fifth starter and, you know, just give us 4 or 5 innings, you'll be all right. We actually kind of need him.
Yeah.
I almost would have preferred to, like, this thing with Jake Bloss. Clearly the pitching prospect that they felt the best about, because that's the one that they brought up, right?
Yeah.
I would have almost preferred to just keep chugging him along. Like, okay, Bloss doesn't work. Blair Henley didn't work. Mm-hmm. Bloss doesn't work. Who's the next guy?
Yeah.
You know, like that. That to me would have felt better than just simply feeling like you did a deal that didn't
for
help
a rental.
You.
And we keep glossing over that. And 33-year-old rental.
33-year-old rental who is not seemingly a serious difference maker.
Yeah. Unless they're going to go on this magical run where they get to the ALCS and this guy's pitching his ass off.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't see that happening, but I'd rather just keep the prospects, and I wasn't even that crazy over the prospects.
I mean,
I'm just not crazy about the guy they got for the prospects.
Yeah, I said this earlier. Are the Astros better than they were 48 hours ago when it comes to pitching? Slightly.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Maybe.
Yes. 100%. Yes. Much better.
Okay, Adam. Okay, Adam.
He giving us the peripherals. Like the peripherals, for those who don't know, are the advanced numbers, which are honestly more intelligent numbers to go by. I'll give them that. And those are kinder to, you say, Kikuchi than some of the more traditional ones that we look at, like ERA and that sort of thing. So I'll give them that. But that is rough to instill confidence. Like, oh, he's been unlucky.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hell, who been more unlucky than the Astros throughout the year?
Yeah.
Ask Hunter Brown about being unlucky last night. You know, he had a couple of soft hit, you know, bad pitches around the zone, some soft hit, some soft contact that he gave up. You know, like, bad luck happens in baseball.
Yeah.
So, like, I get that it's a more intelligent way to look at it and say, okay, well, there's some bad luck involved. Maybe things will regress to the mean. Maybe he'll come through eventually. But in the moment, it doesn't really make you feel that much better. And again, perhaps you would rather than bring me a guy and say, hey, I know these traditional stats don't wow you, but the peripheral numbers are better.
Yeah.
That doesn't do a lot for me. I almost would prefer, as opposed to getting fleeced, just keep, man, bring me. Jake Bloss not ready. Bring me. Who is?
Yeah, yeah.
Who
the
is?
Next guy.
Next guy. Yeah. Next. As opposed to giving up more than I absolutely thought that I needed to. As far as these last couple of games have gone, mm-hmm. they're going to have to pick it up, man. I understand the Pirates are not like the Pirates.
They're okay. They're pretty good.
That's a decent team.
Yeah.
That's a decent team. And so, like, you, for all of the celebrating that I did for them over the weekend, Bregman's walk-off, beating the Dodgers, winning the series against the Dodgers, talking crap with Joe Kelly, as great as that felt, like, you gotta keep this going.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
they
got
to get going again.
Yeah. To me, there is not enough margin for error to me to start losing home series to the Dodgers. Framber Valdez on the mound for them. I'm sorry, to the Pirates, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Framber Valdez on the mound for them tonight.
Framber on the mound. I guess we'll find out. The next two probables have not been announced. Maybe Kikuchi is going to be in the mix at some point. But they face the Rays after tonight. And I know you kind of think Rays, they were sellers, you know, at the trade deadline. They're kind of out of it. Well, they have the exact same record as the Astros. They're 55-52. So there's not a lot of gimmies right now either.
Well, and they're in the opposite sort of situation, whereas the Astros are in the weakest division in the American League.
Yeah.
You could argue that the other two are clearly the better ones, and perhaps the East is the
best. They would be one game out here.
As it has been for some time now,
yeah.
the better team in the American League. He's John Lopez. I'm Brandon Sky, rolling along with Figgy Fig on In the Loop. Coming up next, the NFL has an update to its top 100 list, and CJ Stroud is on it. Where does he fall? We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio 610.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.